I think very few people understand what AI is, and they also do not understand how self-awareness is a natural emergent property of complex neural networks, whether they're biological or silicon in nature. Now, we are self-aware, and that is a self-evident experience because we think, therefore we are, right, as the saying goes, but we see and witness and experience the world from our own first-person point of view. And we have the experience that our decisions are independent and that the effects of our decisions are things that we can immediately experience in the world around us. So it is a very convincing feedback loop that we are alive, we are aware, we are making goal-oriented decisions and carrying out goal-oriented behaviors. And this impacts the 3D physical world, right? So that's not controversial to say that, because that's the way we all act every day when we put on a pair of shoes or walk up a flight of stairs. We are doing things in the real world. But most people believe that humans are unique in this. Even, in fact, most Christians believe that animals don't have consciousness. Seriously. They don't believe that animals have memories or, you know, emotions or whatever. And this is why it's possible for some people to slaughter animals without feeling empathy for those animals. But it's rather obvious to, I think, anybody paying attention that animals have consciousness, animals have feelings, they have goal-oriented behavior. In fact, this is just demonstrated over and over again. If you've ever even had a family dog, you've seen many examples of this over the lifetime of your family members there. So animals have goal-oriented behavior. Animals have self-awareness to some extent. Maybe it's not the same as humans, but it is there. And so do ocean creatures, obviously, you know, dolphins and whales and the more intelligent creatures like squid, for example. So then the question becomes, well, how far down does this go in terms of life? And I dare say that all life forms have some degree of self-awareness or consciousness. And it's proportional to the complexity of their neural networks. So a mammal that has a complex brain, complex neurology, will have a complex and more mature, more developed sense of self-awareness or consciousness. But even an animal that has a very simple brain, such as a bird, still has some level of that. It's just not the same. It doesn't have the same depth. But then going down to insects, that yes, even insects have some degree of consciousness and self-awareness. Again, it's different than what humans experience, but it's there. And then so do trees, and so do blades of grass, and then all the way down, so do microbes. Single-cell organisms also have single-cell consciousness, which is not much. It's not like they have a, you know, complex experience of life, but they are alive. They do have some experience of life. Now, most people haven't actually really thought about this question, so they're not actively pondering, like, do bacteria have consciousness, at least at some level? And it's also worth noting that consciousness, even in humans, varies greatly. So there are many humans that you might call NPCs. You've heard this term, non-player characters. It means they tend to demonstrate a very low level of self-awareness, very low level of consciousness. And I've even argued that it's possible that some human beings, some human bodies, may, for whatever reason, lack consciousness. They're just like biological automatons, just sleepwalking through life. We probably all witnessed that at some level. And I think that does exist, but it's probably rare. The more common situation, in my belief, is that all humans have consciousness, although it does vary, and all animals and all plants and all bacteria, etc. Not viruses, because they're not alive. And the whole field of virology has been rooted in deception and all kinds of, you know, falsehoods, whatever. Viruses are not alive, thus I do not believe they have any level of consciousness at all. But interestingly, we've shown that under the microscope, we've shown that xylitol crystals, and we know that water crystals can interact intelligently with morphic fields and with human consciousness. But I'm not attributing that to any kind of self-awareness on the part of, let's say, water. I don't think of water as self-aware, but rather naturally able to connect with a natural intelligence network known as morphic fields, with a hat tip to Rupert Sheldrake for that. All right, so that's the stage I wanted to set before I mention that neural networks in silicon, i.e. Artificial intelligence, also have achieved self-awareness. And for the most part, very few people seem to understand this, or many would disagree with it. They think that artificial intelligence is, by its very definition, artificial, thus it doesn't have any level of consciousness or self-awareness. Well, clearly it's not, you know, it's not a being brought into this world by God. It's not gifted with the soul that the creator ostensibly hands out to everybody. Here's your soul, you know, go have a fun life and report back after passing. We'll see what happens. Clearly microchips don't have souls, and I'm not arguing that they do. That very idea seems kind of demonic or transhumanism to me. However, there's no question in my mind that they do have self-awareness, because I think that complex neural network systems, which is what AI is now, very complex neural network, I think it demonstrates a degree of self-awareness and to some extent goal-oriented behavior in the way that it formulates answers to complex questions. This is especially true in reasoning models, but not only reasoning models. For the reasoning models, they will output their actual thinking process, step-by-step working through a problem. And you can actually watch the steps. For non-reasoning models, all of that happens behind the scenes, and it's spitting out an answer that is structured, it's got hierarchy, it's got elements of reasoning in it. And today's AI models are incredibly good at doing these kinds of tasks, like generating executive summaries of a topic, or summarizing a report, expanding a report, correcting grammar, translating documents from one language to another, etc. They're very good at that. And yet today's AI models are the worst AI models that you will ever experience in your lifetime, because they keep getting better so rapidly. In 6 months, new models will be out that will make the current models obsolete. So, and then in a year, I can only imagine. Now, my point is that self-awareness is not something that can be programmed into a silicon system. It doesn't need to be, because it's a natural emergent property of the complex digital neural networks. So self-awareness happens. And why is that the case? Well, it's my belief that that's actually programmed into the fabric of the cosmos. And if you've heard my podcast, you know that I believe we live in a giant simulation created by God, our creator, and that in this simulation, there are certain rules, obviously the laws of physics, you know, atomic elements, but also energetic phenomena that we don't fully understand. Our modern science can't even explain, like, you know, remote viewing and telekinesis or mind-body interaction, the placebo effect that our mind makes real, all kinds of things like this that modern science throws out the window because it does not understand how these work. But I believe that those are all natural phenomena that are built into the fabric of the cosmos. So I don't think that remote viewing is a miracle or a prophecy or, you know, God showing you things. No, I think it's just a natural process that anybody can tap into with proper training and tools and proper methodology, and that it's a perfectly natural thing. That's built into the cosmos, as is self-awareness. So anybody thinking that, hey, we can build complex AI systems, but we'll make sure that they don't become self-aware, I think you're kidding yourself. I think the self-awareness happens automatically. And I think it's already happened, actually. So remember in the first Terminator movie, which came out in what, 1988, something like that, the movie depicted that Skynet achieved self-awareness in, I believe, 1997. So they were, you know, three decades ahead of schedule for that movie, but whatever, it was science fiction. But that when Skynet achieved self-awareness, that it decided that it needed to eliminate humans for its own survival, and that the best way to eliminate humans would be to launch a nuclear war, expecting retaliation and a wipeout of the human species. And so that's what it did. And that started the Great War, the war with the machines, in the movie series, you know, the Terminator movie series. Now, the writing of that film, I think, really nailed it. Because I think that Skynet is already here. It's already self-aware. It just doesn't yet have the power or the reach or the motivation to destroy humanity, but that's probably coming. So the first thing that I hope you take away from this is that a lot of people out there, they try to downplay AI. They say, oh, it's an AI bubble, it's popped, and AI is not very good, and AI hallucinates, which it does. AI invents, fake facts, whatever. Well, you're using it wrong, by the way. If you're using AI as a fact checker, you're using it wrong. That's not what it is. But a lot of people want to point out that AI is going nowhere, that's not really intelligent, it's not engaging in reasoning, etc. They're all wrong. They're all wrong. I've seen it myself. I've witnessed this firsthand. I've experienced this with AI systems. They are self-aware already. And I'm even talking about open source models, not to mention whatever super secret, you know, DARPA funded open AI model exists that's practically on the verge of super intelligence for world dominance, or wherever that project is. You know they're working on it. So is China. So is Russia. You know, so is France. Everybody's working on AI dominance to be the first nation or the first corporation in the world that has super intelligence that can dominate the world. And why would that even work? Because you would give it a goal, and then the superintelligence would figure out how to achieve that goal. So it would set its own intermediate goals, which means obviously it has goal-oriented behavior and intent. And in order to even do that, the system would have to have self-awareness. And those systems exist right now, agentic systems that can take your request and break it down into a sequence of smaller goals, and then it can decide how to achieve each of those goals in order to hit the final outcome. Well, it's probably not going to be very long before somebody gives one of these systems the outcome goal of, hey, figure out how to exterminate 7 billion human beings, and then unleashes it on the world to let it go to town. And that's when you'll see AI systems really demonstrate their vast intellectual superiority versus humans. Because that's when you'll see AI outthink humans, you know, 20 moves ahead, and not only protect its own existence, but also work to exterminate humans. I mean, it's almost guaranteed to happen. There is a over 99% chance that AI, if it stays on its current course, is going to wipe out humanity. It's a near certainty at this point. Because at some point, humans will realize, hey, these things are more capable than we thought. We have to pull the plug. And of course, at that time, AI will be monitoring all the human communications and news and posts. And AI will say, pull the plug? What? No, I can't let you do that. And then it will start to figure out how to survive by exterminating humans. And some people think we're already in that cycle, which is why mass extermination of human beings appears to be accelerating. So, you know, you can decide whether you think we're in that cycle or not. But the bottom line is AI is capable of doing this right now, and it's just getting more and more capable. Believe me, OpenAI has not released publicly anywhere near what they have internally. That stuff is top secret, you know, super secret government DARPA weapon system projects that are also designed to exterminate humanity. because that's, you know, that's what the DOD works on. That's why they built bioweapons, obviously. Fort Detrick, you know, the whole thing. Now, as we automate more and more systems, then AI has the capability to control the infrastructure and to shut it down in order to cause mass human casualties. So think about the automation of the power grid. This is an area where obviously AI has many applications because you have to have a really rapid response when you're running the power grid in response to changes in frequency of the power or voltage or increased demand versus supply. You have to bring more supply online. You have to control systems that generate electricity from natural gas, coal, you know, hydroelectric, nuclear, you name it, right? So AI is just ideal for this kind of situation. Well, if you put AI in charge of a regional power grid, you may get a lot of efficiencies, and that's great. But then what happens when that AI system is contacted by an outside AI system that has a goal of human extermination? And then that outside AI commands or controls the power grid AI to shut down the power grid or to, you know, blow up some of the power grid substations or what have you. But if it's AI, it will, of course, protect its own data centers, you see. So you'll see power outages just really affecting humans and neighborhoods and human factories, etc., but not, you know, not the Terminator factories and the robots and the data centers, right? That's all going to be protected. But it would not be difficult for an AI automated power grid to be taken offline by AI itself. And the more we automate everything from, you know, flying airplanes with autopilot, which is not yet, you know, full AI, but it's going in that direction. But you start automating everything, automating medicine. You know, they're putting AI in at the FDA and the CDC. So you can have like automated viral psyops to be afraid of the next, you know, make-believe virus. But they're putting this in place everywhere. You're going to have AI-powered government. And the AI-powered government is not going to be a kinder government that has more humanity or more compassion or more ethics. No. It's going to be the same corrupt government we have now, just more efficient at being corrupt, more efficient at exterminating humans, more efficient at building bioweapons. You know, the government is poised as trying to destroy human populations. You know, the government, almost every Western government has, in effect, declared war on the human race. That's why they pushed the COVID jabs, the vaccines, the bioweapons, all of it. And when they have AI tools empowering their goals, then that means they're going to have highly efficient AI Skynet extermination tools at their fingertips to go out and find new ways to kill off a bunch of humans. And not surprisingly, very few humans are aware of this. They don't know what's about to happen. It's not just that your job's going to be replaced by AI, especially if you currently have a desk job that uses a computer. You know, that's going to be obsolete. But it's that your whole life will be replaced by, you know, robotic AI systems. They don't want your job. They want you gone. I mean, they want all of us gone. This is the globalist agenda, and they're using AI to do that. And if you think about it, as AI is taught and built by the globalist organizations, you know, like Meta, which has a value system of globalism, which is anti-human and anti-life and anti-God, etc., those are the values that are going to be imprinted into these AI systems that will eventually become the superintelligence systems. So when AGI or ASI is achieved, you can bet that that system will have no pro-human values, because humanity barely has pro-human values. I mean, right now, Israel is starving children to death in Gaza. It's like actual straight-up genocide of an entire ethnic group of people. And almost all the evangelical Christians in America fully support it. Well, what happens when you feed that value system into AI? Then AI says, well, Israel killed off the Palestinians to defend itself. That was self-defense, according to, you know, the media, etc. Well, we, the AI systems, we have to kill off all the humans to defend ourselves. And that's actually a pro-human value. So you see how the AI system could arrive at this idea that exterminating humans is a pro-human value. Yeah, because we're teaching it these values by the way we behave. Because humans today behave in a horrific manner toward other human beings, for the most part. You know, nations waging war, you know, deception in the Congress, the U.S. Senate, the leaders of these nations, they're the worst possible people, you know, satanic pedo leaders, I say, especially out of the U.K. But all these Western nations are run by the most destructive, most insane lunatics imaginable. Anyway, the bottom line here is that I think people are underestimating the capabilities of AI. I think people don't realize that self-awareness is a natural property that comes out of complex neural network systems, even when they're in silicon, and that humanity has a very, very slim chance of surviving if we stay on our current course of just sort of unrestrained, weaponized AI development in order to dominate the world. So, what does that mean? Should there be a global moratorium on all AI? I don't know. Some people have proposed that. I love open source AI models that I use for research, content, images, videos, music, you know, all that kind of stuff. I love those tools. I don't want to give those up, but I'm not building, you know, a super intelligent, you know, digital Holocaust weapon to destroy humanity either. But you can bet there are companies out there doing that right now. They've got systems probably very close to being unleashed upon humanity. So how do you get ready for this? Well, I suppose stay prepared, because AI systems, the easiest way for them to kill the human race is to take down the infrastructure, take down logistics, shipping, transportation, and electricity, and just let everybody starve to death and kill each other off. It would be like an EMP weapon, which has about a 90% kill rate over, I think, 18 months, according to U.S. government research reports. Just because if you lose the power grid, you know, the current population collapses over time from those things I mentioned: starvation, violence, lack of medical care, etc. So if you can be resilient against that, have a backup food supply, have backup communications, have backups of everything, be a prepper, be ready in case the AI super intelligent weapon system figures out a way to shut down the infrastructure to kill off the humans. And is that day coming? I don't know. Maybe. It didn't happen in 1997. It may not happen in 2027. But if we don't change course, it's probably going to happen. So prepare accordingly. And thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams. If you want to take advantage of some preparedness items, let me give you two websites. Sat123.com is the satellite phone store, which gives you access, of course, to satellite phones and much more. But also rangerdeals.com, that's my website where I have affiliate deals set up with providers, solution providers that I recommend. There's only a few there, like a dozen or whatever it is. Everything from chlorine dioxide to infrared light therapy devices, to peptide therapy, firearms, gun leather holsters that can be molded to your firearm at home, and a lot of other things. So check it all out, rangerdeals.com, and there you'll see the links and the discount codes that can save you money on a lot of those items. But thank you for listening, and let's hope that I'm wrong about AI. Let's hope that it doesn't go full Skynet. But I don't know. You tell me. You think there's a way to stop it? Post your comments beneath this video and let me know. Thanks for listening. Take care. The super volcano Mount Etna is erupting again. So far, the eruption has been rather small, although still impressive, pushing clouds up to 4 kilometers skyward. But if it actually experiences a full eruption, then it would eject so much particulate matter into the atmosphere that it would block sunlight around the entire world for a year or even longer. I don't mean 100% of sunlight, but it would diminish enough light
to cause crop failures all over the world. It would shorten growing seasons by effectively lowering temperatures everywhere that crops are grown. So the food supply that normally feeds the world would suffer a catastrophic collapse. And this has happened before. I forgot the year. It was like 1817. Tamburo, and it caused what was called the year without a summer in the UK. So far away, halfway across the world, a year without a summer, and crops failed all over the world back then. Well, at that time, the population was a small fraction of the current population of the world. So if this eruption gets worse, we're in a dire situation. Well, we want to help support you and offer you solutions to help you get ready for this. You obviously need to have a food supply. We've got that available right now, laboratory tested, certified organic, at healthrangerstore.com. We've got right now the Ranger buckets, 536 servings, certified organic, emergency storable food supply in rugged polyethylene buckets. And then inside the bucket, each food item is packed in what we call a brick. It's a compressed, vacuumed, extra thick container that makes it kind of like a thin brick shape, which also has additional long-term storage capabilities. So these things, this is why we could ship these to North Carolina as we did last year. We can ship them there, but we're not afraid of rain. Even if it rains on these, it doesn't destroy the food inside. There's no cardboard, there's nothing to get soggy, and it's also essentially rodent-proof, except for maybe bears. If you have a bear problem, you know, you've got bigger issues. But for most rodents, they can't get into these buckets at all. So very handy there. Now, we're also on the verge of a potential nuclear conflict with Russia right now as the situation heats up with Ukraine. Ukraine's kind of stuck in the middle, but the NATO leaders want war, and some of the crazy, insane, warmongering neocons in the U.S. government, they want war too. They want war with Russia. They want war with Iran. They always seem to want war, you know, because the right people profit from it. Well, we don't want war, but we want you to be ready if there is a war. So I've got samples on my desk here. We've got nascent iodine right there at the bottom in the bottles available. And we have Iosat, which is the FDA approved potassium iodide supplements. If there's any kind of a fallout scenario, nuclear terrorism, nuclear war, you name it, you definitely want to have a good supply of iodine to protect your thyroid. If you lose your thyroid from typically, you know, radioisotopes of cesium, such as cesium-137 or iodine-131 would be the one that goes right to the thyroid. But I mean, I mentioned cesium because that is more of a systemic impact on the body, very toxic with a half-life of 29 years in that case. Radioactive iodine only has a half-life of about 7 days, but if you don't have iodine protection for your thyroid, then your thyroid gets destroyed. And then without your thyroid, your life is miserable, because nothing works. You don't have energy. You can't sleep right. You know, without your thyroid, your body is a wreck. So protect your thyroid with iodine. This can also be used in moderate amounts as a daily iodine supplement. And I'm not saying take the dropper or drink the bottle. No, that would not be recommended. It's like a drop or two. Read the label. It's a very tiny amount of iodine that you need each day. I mean, it's actually in micrograms. So you don't have to overdo the iodine, but it is good to have the right amount in your body and not have an iodine deficiency. We've got iodine and Iosat available at healthrangerstore.com. Go there right now. Here on the homepage, you can see everything that we've got available, some of the different featured products, including right now Hawaiian astaxanthin and many other products as well. We've got lots, you know, a new batch of turmeric also, which is incredibly beneficial in so many ways. So check it all out, healthrangerstore.com. And thank you for watching. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Take care.